Compostables! It's time for part two!
Did you miss us?
We missed you.
All right, here we go!
Hey, Postables, you're listening to Deliver Me a Podcast, brought to you by Casey, Jess, and Cammy.
A special thanks to James Jandrish for letting us use the music on our show.
Now, sit back, relax, grab a Yoo-hoo and a stamp collection, and here we go.
Before we dive deeper into Shane and Oliver and the wedding, can we also wrap up Owen's storyline?
Oh, yeah, we probably should.
But the wedding.
But the way that everything comes full circle for Owen, he receives the fireman mascot that he had given to his dad all like 10 years prior.
Yeah. And
as he is going to his, going to the treatment, and all of the firemen who were touched by Fred were all out there. They're all like lined up. And they were like, they were about to cry. I can't do this. But they were essentially cheering him on for his fight. And oh my goodness, like
giving him a reason to live.
Just as Fred had given them a reason to fight those fires. And it just came full circle for that young man to go into his treatment. Because, I mean, it had been, 8 years? He had been fighting leukemia for 8 years.
Something like that, yeah.
And that is hard on a kid and his mother, especially when he lost his father. You know, and a lot of times,
and he's reduced to a wheelchair, and
he's got his mom, and I'm sure the thought of him thinking like, I have to make it through for her, because then she has no one.
Yeah,
I think this is the first time I've like cried on this podcast.
No, it's not.
No, like legit, like emotional crying. Oh,
and
gosh.
I don't know if you guys heard it, but there was one particular firefighter who said, "We got your back."
I did hear that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We're with you. We're with you. You gave us hope, and now we are here for you to see that you make it through. And now we want to know if he made it through.
I know. We're going to say he did because it's a Hallmark.
We're going to say he did.
We're going to say he did because I can't handle more tears and because it's Hallmark.
This is not Danny Barrett's story.
Oh, goodness. That's the... Oh, yes. Yeah. No.
Yeah. No, no, no. He lives. He's fine.
He's fine. So, yeah.
Is it time to... get to the wedding?
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun.
I think you mean dun, 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 dun.
Oh my gosh!
And so it goes. Really bringing it full circle.
Perfect. Perfect placement. Oh my gosh. You guys saw it. I began to sob. I began to sob at those three notes.
So, one thing, we know that Oliver is a man of faith. And there was so much of his faith incorporated in this wedding. And, you know, so Norman and Rita, they recite Song of Solomon 8:6-7. Then they recite Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, which is two are better than one, that verse. And that was a verse that I had clung to in high school and in college. And so that was just knowing to uplift people, uplift your partners, your significant others, your friends, your family, and knowing that you don't have to do it alone. And God created us to be, to bear each other's burdens, essentially. And that's exactly what Oliver needed that reminder for in this movie. He had been bearing all of his burdens alone. It was very rare through this series in which Oliver would, you know, unload on somebody and say, I'm having all these problems, I'm having all these feelings. Usually it's somebody bringing it out. It's Shane bringing it out of him. It's his father bringing it out of him. It's Norman bringing it out of him. He never unloads his burden on somebody else. And so I thought that was very significant of that verse, especially with Shane and Oliver, and with the fact that Shane had been like, you're not sharing everything with me. And now it's a reminder for him that he can be safe with Shane and he can bear his burdens with Shane, and that together they can make it through. And then the other one, I did Google this one because I was like, oh, I don't recognize this one. But when they talk about passing through the water, the river, and the fire, that is actually from Isaiah 43. And I was reading it. I was like, I feel like this is a life verse for Oliver, like this section. And it's so in the Bible, it's the restoration of Israel. And God is basically telling Israel, he's reminding them of the promises that he made to that nation and the people for all of those years, that he will redeem them. And part of the verses are, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. I will be with you when you pass through the waters and when you pass through the rivers. They will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire and the flame. I will not burn you. And it's that idea of deliverance in the Bible for God. He had delivered Israel from their enemies, from their bondage, just as in this series, God had delivered Oliver from his bondage to the past. Because if we watch the whole series, you see he's so, like, he can't let go of the past. It's almost like it's this thing that's holding on to him, and he just can't seem to sever those ties. But it's a reminder for him, like, he will be delivered, and he has been delivered. And, you know, it did dawn on him when he was talking to Sharon that, okay, sure, I didn't have my father, I didn't have Shane when Holly left, but I had my faith. And that was so enlightening to me to see the parallels. And it was also another reminder for Oliver that the Lord had held on to him, just like he saw, and just like Mrs. Genzinger said to him in the Christmas movie, the rock was holding on to the tree.
Onto the tree.
Mm-hmm. And it was, when I've made those connections, I was like, wow, Martha Williamson. Wow.
Yeah. And that idea of deliverance ties right back into like the first couple of lines that he says. He talks about that, you know, we're male that's sometimes mishandled or misdirected. And yet what is written on our hearts can never truly be lost, and somehow, some way, someday be delivered.
And he got delivered.
He did. He did. It's a giant arc for Oliver. And now he doesn't have to look back. All he has to do is look forward.
And smell those beautiful yellow roses.
Okay, and can we talk about the fact that Joe had Dunbarton Oaks on the pew with him? He was there.
Like, that's something I would have done.
Those vows were beautiful.
Oh my gosh. For Shane, because Oliver says, do you take me as your husband? And then Shane says, you're fiercely loving and
utterly adoring wife. I'm just like, wow. Especially when you think about the fact, you know, Oliver says to Sharon that it was love at first sight for him, but he didn't do anything about it because he was married. You definitely know it was not love at first sight for Shane. It took her a long time to fall in love with him. Mm-hmm. And so for her to come so far and to do that arc with her feelings, mm-hmm. that now she is going to hold on to him and never let go. And then you add just the right amount of levity into those vows. Basically, put up with me.
Yeah.
And then will you overlook my obsession with the King's English? You have just the right amount of levity, mm-hmm. to just make us laugh a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you come to something so profound when Shane quotes Ruth, mm-hmm. and says, "And your God, my God, went and lost without you. She didn't even know how to pray."
Mm-hmm.
And now she has fully embraced a belief in God, and she has clung onto it. And she tells Oliver, "You're the man that I've prayed with and prayed for." So we know that this is not a spontaneous thing. She has taken this lifestyle upon herself, and now she is telling him without any shadow of a doubt that your God is my God, and I will be a woman of faith right alongside you because you are a man of faith. And I just went, ah!
The one line that got me all pitter-pat here is when she said to Oliver, "Will you trust my heart to understand yours? And will you let me love you with all of my heart?" Now it's like, this is exactly what we need right now. Exactly what Oliver needs right now. Because he's so scared. He was so scared of letting people in, especially people he cared so deeply about, especially Shane. And it was another reminder for him that Shane is there. She will bear his burdens. She will understand his quirky little antique ways, and she will love him forever, just as she said when she accepted his proposal into the altar.
Well, and the fact that she replaced the necklace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rita says, "I've never seen you without that." To everything there is a season. Mm-hmm. And she has now taken off that necklace that was so precious to her that she hardly ever went without it. And she has now shown proof that she is ready to move forward with her new life, mm-hmm. with her husband, and that she wasn't going to let the past dictate her movements, yeah. and her actions anymore. She was looking ahead to the future, and she was looking ahead to forever with her husband. And it was almost like that hole in her heart had been healed. It's still there because she'll never forget, but it's healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she can move on now. It's beautiful.
It's also the idea and a picture of leaving and cleaving, because mm-hmm. that necklace was from her mom and dad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And just, it's like taking that off and putting that away, putting on the new necklace from Oliver. It's like a symbol of her becoming one with Oliver.
But she still called her mama.
Mama, I noticed that. I'm like, oh. Help with the zipper.
Oh. Will you help me with it, mama? I was like, oh, that's just
it. Oh, I know.
Oh, gosh, you guys.
And the end of the vows, when Oliver says, as a token of the vows we have made, I just, oh, such a beautiful way to wrap it up. Because a vow, it's not just like willy-nilly, whatever. A vow is the deepest promise known to God and man. It is a vow, you know, and something, it's so precious. It's so deep. And it's something that should be taken seriously. And so the ending on that note was so perfect. So perfect to wrap up, you know, everything that had transpired in this movie.
And now Oliver has a ring on his finger again.
Because somebody a little more postal than Holly.
Yes, with somebody a little more postal. Because he had a ring when we first saw him. But it was, at least in Holly's eyes, it was nothing more than a formality. Mm-hmm. And now it's a symbol of the vows that they have made.
And the joy on his face as they kissed.
Oh my gosh. Oh. It was
like a new man. It's a new man.
New man.
The joy at the end of the movie was perfect.
And then he decides to spend his wedding night working.
I feel like there are other things.
Can't leave a lost letter undelivered, Cammy.
Oh, right. What was I thinking?
How dare you?
My husband saw that part and he went,
Well, we also found out Charlie named her baby Eleanor.
Yeah,
Eleanor from Passports.
Eleanor from Passports.
So sweet.
Always knew they would get together.
Yes. And they did a little nod too to absent friends.
Yeah.
Valerie Harper.
Della.
Della Reese.
Della Reese.
And then very last line, we are forever the Postables. And that was like, that was for us.
That was totally for us.
And I was like, oh, we are forever the Postables.
We are forever the Postables.
Okay, did you guys, I totally thought that when he said, what say you, Miss McInerney? I so thought that either he would say, oh, forgive me, Mrs. O'Toole, or she would correct him and say, you mean Mrs. O'Toole. I thought for certain that they were going to go there, that there was going to be the whole Miss McInerney, Mrs. O'Toole thing, and it didn't happen. I went, oh my gosh, what the?
I feel like, there's just a modern couple, because if you notice, Norman introduced Rita as Ms. Haywith Dorman. And so it's almost like Ms. McInerney has turned into a pet name of sorts.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. I know that it's the pet name, but I thought for sure that they were going to do the whole Miss McInerney versus Mrs. O'Toole thing, because he always made such a point of calling her Miss McInerney. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, I thought for sure.
Did you notice that he only called her Shane?
He did. That was the only time that he called her Miss McInerney, was there at the very end.
At the very end. Every other time he called her Shane. So I'm telling you, her work name is now Shane.
Her work name is now Shane.
Any last thoughts before we move on to all of our Easter eggs that we haven't covered yet?
Oh, goodness.
The present.
The presence of Ramon and the presence of Ramon and Hazel.
Yeah.
You know, they were very slight. They weren't as big as I thought they would. They weren't as big as I thought they would be, but they were there. They were present. And it was almost like a comfort food. You know, I'm just like, oh, they're back. And, you know, we've got Ramon, who is so over the top. I half thought that he was going to perform the ceremony again. You know, mm-hmm. I thought that maybe they would have him perform the ceremony, but he was so subdued mm-hmm. because he knew how much this day meant mm-hmm. to the two of them, and say, "Oh, Villar, my friend," you know, I'm like, oh,
he helped decorate.
Ramon is getting emotional
in the background.
No.
And then, I love you know, movie. Jill Morrison is just a comic genius, she you know, is. when they're rolling Charlie away in the mail cart. Did she get the job? It was, you know, it was so nice that they were there. You mm-hmm. know, I was so glad that they were there. Cause we can't have a postable wedding without Hazel and Ramon.
Yeah. I love this movie. I think it's my favorite ever. There was something different about this one. I know I told you guys this you know, after we had watched, but there's something so different about it. And I loved how everything intertwined with each other, the letter story, the Oliver's story, his arc, the wedding, Norman and Rita. Yes, they didn't, you know, we don't know if Rita will ever bear a child, but we know they're open to adoption. They have Charlie and now this baby who they've taken in, and that's their own little family. And it's so satisfying to me. A lot of times people just kind of leave it like, oh, okay. But everything about this movie was so satisfying. All the storylines, I loved it so much.
Hey, Postables, we're just taking a quick little break to talk about something fun. How would you like to party with some of your favorite Postables? Eric, Kristen, Crystal, Jeff, Zach, and Gregory. If you enjoy Signed, Sealed, Delivered, which you all do, you're listening to our podcast, you don't want to miss out on the Rama Drama Live event coming to West Palm Beach, Florida in January of 2022. Spend the weekend escaping into the Rama Drama world and meeting your favorite on-screen celebrities. These fan-focused in-person parties cater to movie lovers just like you. Make memories, leave with photos, autographs, swag, and an exceptional experience to last a lifetime. Join us in West Palm Beach on January 7th through 9th at the Palm Beach Convention Center. You can buy your tickets at ramadrama.com.
Okay, Easter eggs.
Easter eggs.
Let's do the Easter eggs. Do you just want to kind of keep going around and alternate?
Sure.
So, filling 34 in a row and then all your years are taken. Cammy, start us. What's your first Easter egg?
3, trust the timings.
That was a big one, like for this.
Trust
movie.
The timing was, well, no, 4. 4, because Oliver says trust the timing was a little large. For the watch. So 4 times.
And 1 almost because it was twist timing.
Yeah.
All right. First one I noticed was in Oliver's like first few lines where we talk about living letters. Because that's a reference to Alameda Downing blog Living Letters.
Oh. The first one I noticed actually was, I mean, this was not written. This was a shot, but it's the old DLL.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It's not the exact old DLL, but it looks so much like it.
Mm-hmm.
I seriously wonder what's going on with that. You know,
I was talking about the outside shot.
Oh, the outside shot. Okay.
Because usually they show the big Alameda and Downing building right there, the big tall one. But before in the pilot, and maybe we would see the USPS postal facility with the building and the steps, and it's gray and it's a big, I don't think we've seen it since like season one.
Okay.
Tammy, your turn.
Oh,
my Tammy, bad. Jess, Casey. Yeah.
Right. Owen and Charlie.
Yep.
My first musical one, because I love the song, was in the beginning. They had the It's All Good and Getting Even Better.
Yeah.
Kyle Treadway.
Yep.
I love that one. So I was like, oh, there it is.
I love that song too. I have it on playlist. Oh, good. They were talking about the Ripped and Mangled items.
Yeah. And add on to that, the Unattached Objects.
Mm-hmm.
Nifs.
And Nifs, yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dark of Night Awards, and they even went into how they prevented a homicide. So, you know, all of that had to do with departments inside the DLO.
Yeah.
So I guess I kind of attached that to the Ripped and Mangled. So Mules in the Grand Canyon was Charlie's great grandfather.
They also talked about Elite Task Force with wide powers of postal discretion.
Ah, I missed it.
Oliver also says waiting for someone he loves to come back.
Ramon's mole.
Yes.
I was like, it's not exactly a callback, but
I kind of
with how huge Norman reacted to the mole sauce. It's like, oh, okay.
Norman just was like, no, I'm not trying your mole. too soon. Holy Grail of guilt.
Yes. Denver Mercy got a shout out when they were rolling Charlie out, and Norman's like, I can't remember all of it. You do it, Oliver.
The yellow rose bush. That was so beautifully in bloom, and it all started with a cutting.
Clams and red wine. Angry Oliver.
Yes.
You know, I was so glad that they brought that back with such a force because we haven't really heard very much about it since from Paris with Love.
Yeah.
And so for him to say, when Sharon asks, what do you want for dinner? Clams and a nice red wine, please. We're all, and you see the three of them go,
not the clams and red wine.
It was great.
Mayday.
They also referenced postal privacy code 1007, and then Shane cuts them off, but it's 1007P.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
The Tabasco sauce.
The
Tabasco sauce on the table.
Norman's revelation solution is back.
Yes. Shane says, oh, me of a little faith.
There are no small miracles. Teresa Capodiamonte.
Another callback was Norman says he always wanted to be a cowboy, and it made me think of Renita Hayworth because he got to be a cowboy.
That's true.
That actually reminded me of him being abandoned by his mother at the rodeo.
Oh,
that's what I connected that to. But the double callback. Double callback. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I connected it to. I didn't even think about the fact that he played a Pony Express rider. Yeah.
Shane leaning on the car out after being in the chapel, then Joe comes out with two cups of coffee.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yes. Of course. The ballooning over Stockholm.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
Sorry, losing all of my stuff here. This one I think is kind of a stretch, but it just made me think of it. The letter at the end that they find after the wedding has a family crest. And it just made me think of our like slogan, what a family. I think it's a stretch, but I still like it.
Well, I feel like that whole letter was kind of a giant callback because it had, okay, I feel like there was the wax seal that was in the letter, the Lincoln letter, right?
From the heart.
From the heart. And then 30, male with tremors. Like we've heard something similar, like the tremors thing has come up. We've had young men write letters. We've had the commemorative rose stamp. The commemorative bicycle stamp was in the pilot. And then yak.
Smells like yaks.
Yak. Yak milk. Yak.
That was my next one. Norman and his smelling. Nobody smells like my Norman.
It's
you, Jess. Yeah.
Okay. My favorite catch is, again, at the end, they're walking out, and there is a street sweeper going by.
It's
called to be a street sweeper. He should sweep streets, even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry.
Wow. Yes. Okay, I don't know if this is, it's tied, so maybe a tiny baby Easter egg. But in the scene where Shane and Oliver are on the DLO and she says to him, I will never leave you. I was reminded of Truth Be Told when they're all, they find out that Oliver's dad is, has had passed and Joe wasn't his biological father. And then Norman and Rita leave and then Shane leaves. And then he says, you haven't left yet, have you? And then she says, no, I couldn't bear to leave you. And so.
And also from Paris with Love, I have no plans to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true.
Was that from Paris with Love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Was that
Pretty sure?
No. It is Truth Be Told.
Truth Be Told, because it's all about Oliver's dad.
Oh.
It's about, and he's fixing the swing. With the Sam Hill? I swear it was perfect yesterday. Or whatever.
Rita and Shane saying I love you to each other on their wedding days.
Yep.
Every time there is a season.
What else do I have here that we haven't said? I mentioned this already. I don't know what to do. That was in Higher Ground. Here's one. We now know Oliver and Shane's middle names.
Yay!
Middle name is a shout out. It's Joseph Lindley O'Toole. Oliver Joseph Lindley O'Toole.
And Shane Shannon McInerney. Man, Shane Shannon and mother is Sharon.
It's a hard like alliterative name.
Shane and then you got Alex as her sister. Yeah. Where did that fit?
Okay, really quick. This is not an Easter egg. Well, maybe it is. We'll make it an Easter egg. But the name Shane means God is gracious. And it's like she's a little gift from God to Oliver to remind him that God is gracious and he has been gracious in his life. And that's exactly what he needs. I'm making that an Easter egg. Yay.
Okay, we'll do it.
Oliver means descendant of the ancestor, and we all know he's all up in his ancestors. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of the dancing. We had dancing from the pilot. We had dancing from the masterpiece. We had dancing from Christmas. And we had dancing in One in a Million.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all the dancing.
This isn't really an Easter egg, but it's just something funny I noticed that I just remembered. So the swear jar is there, as always.
Of course.
And I thought it was really funny that when Sharon came into the DLO, that Shane ends up standing in front of the swear jar, like within the background. I think she would have wanted to use it at that moment.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that's really funny.
And then the way they're saying their vows is reminiscent of Catherine and Jonathan and them reading their letters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have the first unseen kiss and then the first seen kiss, both in Higher Ground.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. We have, I guess it's Justice's turn.
Yeah, I was like, I'm about out. I mean, aside from the other flashbacks of like Teresa and Artis.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Genzinger. Oh, I just remembered another one. I must have forgotten to write it down, but I just remembered. When Oliver sees the tree with the balloon and it reminds him of Mrs. Genzinger, the balloons reminded me of the pilot when the boy puts the letter on the balloon.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, okay, now she's
got no more.
Let me think here. Is there anything else? There's also, where is it? Oh, in their vows, Oliver says rain and snow and dark of night.
Yes.
Et cetera, yes.
I'm blanking on his name right now, but the actor who played Phoenix Fink played a young Eric Mabius in How to Fall in Love.
Oh!
Oh! Yeah.
That's fun!
Yeah!
Oh, that's, well, that's interesting. Huh. Okay. Talked about Nifs. Oh, Shane refilled the fridge with Yoo-hoo. That was the other thing. Kind of made me giggle.
I need a Yoo-hoo. I refilled the fridge this morning.
She knows her man.
This is a really big stretch, but you know how they're saying it smells like breakfast. I thought it smelled like breakfast. That's why it smells like breakfast. Breakfast, breakfast, breakfast. After I watched it one of the times, From the Heart just happened to be on. And Oliver was reading the letter from Ryan. And he folded it and kind of did this big sigh and went, breakfast. Very, very tiny, tiny thing, but it just kind of made me laugh that I happened to see those two scenes very close together. I never would have picked that up if I hadn't just watched this movie that was full of breakfast references.
Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of like little things for Norman. Like they mentioned the 37 cousins. There's a picture of his grandma on the desk. The cowboy thing. Rita says she wanted to be a cave explorer and UFO activist like her mother. So nice little nod to some of those things that have been mentioned in the past.
We talked about Eleanor from Passports.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's Miss McInerney. You know,
Miss McInerney.
He says it very pointedly at the end there.
Yeah, I think
I'm out.
I mean, firewalls. Shane breaks through more firewalls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, a Postal Bridal magazine comes back.
Oh, I missed that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I think Ramon and all his random jobs.
Well, yeah, but I think that's more of a theme than a callback.
Yeah, I think that's all I have on this. Guys, I have like 12 pages of notes. So.
Yeah. Let's call it good.
We'll call it good. Yeah.
And there you have it, Postables. The vows.
We made it through.
2 hours later.
The vows we have made. I mean, there's a lot to talk about.
There really was. It was packed. Martha makes every word count.
There's one thing that we missed.
Oh, no.
Joe called Shane honey.
Oh, yeah.
So precious.
Sweet. So sweet.
Okay, now I'm done.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us for this recap. Let us know all of your thoughts about the movie. Let us know if there's any other Easter eggs you found that we missed, because I'm sure there's other things out there that some of y'all have figured out. And let's hope for many more SSD.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.